Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Welcome. Welcome to One Guy with a Mic, Dingers and Dunks. Last week we did the NL East. This week we're doing the NL Central, and I got three guests with me. I got Ethan, Ricky, and Sean with me. They're going to got a couple Cardinals fans and a Reds fan, and of course, I'm the Cubs fan. Unfortunately, I don't know anybody that's a Brewers or a Pirates fan, so, well, I guess I do know people that are Pirates fans. I just don't really talk to them. So, therefore, they're not on this episode. So they're here in spirit, apparently. All right. First of all, welcome aboard, guys. I'm glad to have you here.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Also, a little reminder, boys and girls, before we get started on this, go ahead and hit that follow button if you're a first-time listener to the channel show. Go ahead and hit that bell to get the notifications. And also, make sure you hit that download button, because that's how we get credit for actually listening to the episode, is by downloading it. As always, I thank each and every one of you for tuning in every single week to listen to me talk about sports. Also, this show is in partnership or affiliated with shankitgolf.com, where you can go to shankitgolf.com to get all golf apparel and use code ONEGUY at checkout to save you some cash. All right, boys, let's get into this thing. Just give you a disclaimer. I got all my stats from baseballprospectus.com. They are wrong half the time. So therefore I just use them as a tool and not actual science when I decide to do this type of stuff. However, I do feel like they have one thing in common, and that is the Pittsburgh Pirates finishing dead last in the NL Central.
Agreed.
Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
It'll be a close one for that last place position.
Oh, really? A close one? Are you being the Jason on this episode?
I
and disagreeing with us? No, Jason's good shit. He was fun last week.
Cardinals fan, I do have to say that our rotation is not great. As long as our rotation can put together some solid innings to get it to the bullpen with it being close and stays healthy.
Okay, so I obviously see where you're leaning at fourth. And also, since Jason does listen to my episodes, Jason, I'm just messing with you. You know, it was only a 4-game difference between your last place team and my last place team. So it's all good, buddy. All right. Don't need hate for the one guy. Okay. I just run my mouth. So, all right. Well, I got the Pirates depth chart right here. Let's see. Their top five pitchers are going to be Mitch Keller, Iowa boy, by the way. If you didn't know that,
yeah,
he grew up in Iowa. Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, Luis Ortiz, and Quinn Prester is who Baseball Prospectus has as their starting five. They also have Jared Jones and Bailey Falter. Oh, and don't forget Paul Skinnes as well, the guy that hit 25 home runs in college. So
big arm there.
Big arm. Big bat. Oh, and hold on. Didn't Chapman sign with the Royals?
No, he signed with the Pirates.
Oh, okay. All right. And then so they got Bednar and Chapman in the bullpen? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm glad. Way to go. Way to go, Pirates. So Baseball Prospectus has them going 73-89. And I think that number's high. Let's start. Let's go with Ricky. Let's start with you. Your thoughts on the Pirates.
So with the Pirates, they have a lot of young talent that's still developing in Cabrian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz. And as long as the young guys show up and perform, I think 73 is a good number for them.
All right. Well, you know, and I didn't really get into that part of their depth chart either. I mean, they got Henry Davis and Grandal as their catchers, right? And then you're looking at Rowdy Tellez at first base with Connor Joe. We got Cabrian Hayes over at third. You got O'Neill Cruz at short coming off his injury. You got Brian Reynolds, Jack Swinski, Jawan Bey out there as well. And then you got McCutcheon back as DH. So, I mean, they got They got some stuff, but not a whole lot, right? So, so they got some stuff. So, Ethan, tell me your thoughts on the Pirates.
I mean, to kind of reiterate on what Ricky said, I mean, you got a lot of youth, but the youth that you do have are big names. I mean, we see what Cruz is capable of. Probably one of the most exciting young guys in baseball, with another guy we're going to talk about in De La Cruz later. So kind of an interesting story there with him coming back from injury. Got some names. I mean, Chapman's been around a while. Typically a pretty dependable shutdown guy. You got David Bednar, big arm, another absolute stud. But typically with Pittsburgh, and like every other year, it's the unknown. I kind of foresee a hot start with these guys, similar to last year. You know, they started off really, really good. I think they were 10 plus games over 500 at 30, 40 games in at one point, and then, you know, kind of faltered off. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same. You know, with the Pirates, there's always that trade deadline stuff. Does Bri Rye get traded every year after signing a contract extension? Don't know. But I kind of foresee them definitely being towards the bottom, but don't be surprised if, you know, they maybe win a few more games than what people are giving them credit for.
Okay. Sean?
I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I don't think they finish in last place. I think they finish in fourth. I think the Brewers finish fifth.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Any more thoughts behind that situation?
The Brewers... The moves that they made make absolutely no sense. The Pirates, I think all of their young talent, if Cruz comes back and plays throughout the season like Cruz is playing in the spring, he can be the leader of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Davis has shown he can hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Tellez, you never know what you're going to get from Tellez. Tellez could have a great year, or Tellez could strike out three times a game. The only problem that I see that they could have, and it's the same problem with another that we'll get to later on in the NL Central, is I question their pitching. That's the big place that I think. That's the biggest question mark for the Pirates is, can Keller and can Gonzalez carry that staff?
Well, that's the thing is Gonzalez, had a good year a couple of years ago. Is that right? With the Mariners. And then you had Perez, who had a good year a couple of years ago with the Rangers.
Yeah.
So they're able to throw big games. I've yet to see Mitch Keller actually have a good season yet. And he's your ace. So he's going to be touted as your ace. So I think if he can rein in his walks, I think that's the biggest issue with Keller is he walks too many guys, and then he's throwing meatballs down the middle and then just getting teed off on. I think he has enough stuff to be an ace, but I'd see if he was on the other team, he'd probably be a fourth pitcher or long relief.
Yeah.
So
I'll say win totals. I'm going to say between 77 and 82.
77 and 82. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Ethan, thought on win totals for the Pirates?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm lying. You know, I don't think they're going to be anything we don't expect, but I mean, there is some potential for talent. One thing I do want to hit though, real quick. Cabrian Hayes is probably the best defensive third baseman in the NL right now.
Yes.
That guy is huge with some offensive production. So, mm-hmm. you know, you get somebody that helps protect Cruz and Bryrie. I mean, that could change things. So,
yeah.
True. I mean,
that's big.
It is.
I guess Ricky? the word I'm looking for, not to interrupt, the word I should have used is, I think the Pirates are going to be sneaky.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I can live with that. Ricky, what about you? Where do you think the Pirates finish out with wins this year?
Honestly, anywhere between, like I said, I think 73 is a good number for them, being conservative mm-hmm. on it. But I think they might crest over 500 on the season. So I'm going to give them anywhere between 73 and 80.
Okay. And here's,
if they do, it's barely going to be over 500.
Right. And here's my thoughts is the Baseball Prospectus has a 73. My feeling on it is they'll hang around 500 the first couple months of the year. Then it's going to come summertime and their pitchers are going to not be able to keep up with the hitters in the Central or in all of baseball for that matter. And they're probably going to end up winning like 68 games. And O'Neill Cruz is going to have a spectacular year and Cabrian Hayes is going to do what he does and Reynolds is going to do what he does, but that pitching is not going to get him anywhere.
And there's a good possibility that could happen.
A very good possibility. So,
and something you'll hear me say about another team that we'll talk about here in a little bit is it don't matter how good your bats are, you can't out hit 15 runs every game.
Right. Correct. That's going to be a problem. All right. So the next three teams in the Central for Baseball's Prospectus are separated by three games in their projections.
Wow.
Yeah. They have the Reds projected at 78 and 84. They got the Brewers projected at 80 and 82. And they have the Cubs going 500. So we're gonna go with my specialty of the Brewers finishing fourth. Because I feel like the Brewers have just fallen off. You're not throwing out Corbin Burns anymore. You don't have Craig Counsell talking the young guys up. Mm-hmm. You're going with Peralta, Freddie Peralta, which he's not a bad guy. Peralta can eat innings. And you got Wade Miley hasn't been a starter, a ace starter or a top two starter on any team since the Reds, right?
Yep.
If not longer.
And that was a long year.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you look at Colin Rea, Robert Gasser, Joe Ross, right? Then you can throw out DL Hall. They did get Jacob Junis. They got Aaron Ashby, who can eat innings as well. On the back end, they got Devin Williams.
Stud
closer, yeah. And then they also got a couple
from punching walls.
Yeah, no kidding. They do have a few other guys that are, you know, bullpen guys like Trevor Meagel, Bryce Wilson, Evan McKendry, Taylor Clark. Like, they got some of those guys. And then you look at what they're coming out with their bats-wise. Don't they have Sal Frederick trying to play third base? I do believe
that. Yes, that is correct.
So you're trying to turn your center fielder into a third base. Yeah. That's
bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, exactly. Who
do they got playing first now?
Who do they? The Rhys Hoskins.
Which? Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What an interesting signing, considering everything they did.
That's why I'm going back to my point. I still think they're the worst team in the Central.
Yeah. So the roster is Wilson, Contreras, and Gary Sanchez behind the plate.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. You got Rhys Hoskins at first.
William Contreras.
What's that?
I think you said Wilson, didn't you?
Oh yeah, William. Sorry.
Not to be confused with Wilson.
Yeah, not to be confused with Wilson. Wilson with two L's, by the way.
Yes.
William with two L's. So, yeah, I get confused on that. The Contreras boys confuse me. So
yes,
I mean, one did win a World Series, though. Just no, oh. Both of them won a World Series.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Because William,
you're going to pay for that. Braves. Yeah, you're going to pay for that comment, buddy.
Probably. Let's see. Then you got at second, you got Bryce Terang. You got Willie Adames at short. And like I said, their third baseman, Baseball Prospectus has it as either Joey Ortiz or Andrew Monastero. But obviously, right now, going on in spring training, they got Frelick playing third.
Yeah.
And then you're still rolling the LH out there. I'm surprised he's not in a wheelchair yet.
Yeah.
And then you got Jackson Chirio out there in center. And then, yeah, you got Frelick playing. They got Prospectus got Frelick playing right, but you're probably going to go Joey Wehmer or Blake Perkins. And then you got Jamani Jones. Oh my gosh. That team is. Talk about They're young awful. Guys. They're awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was in shock when I looked at that lineup the other day. I was like, how did they go from what they were to this? I mean, number one, you let Burns, like, I don't understand how you can't make that guy happy. I mean, when he's on, he's dominant.
Right.
He's a dominant pitcher.
And he was dominant down the stretch last year.
Yes.
Yes.
The only bright spot that I see on that team is Jackson
Chirio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only bright spot, honestly.
I mean,
I like Sal Frelick.
But playing third, moving from center field to third?
In center field, yes. Right field, yes. Not third base, though. Go ahead, Ethan. What do you got?
Something nobody has mentioned. You got to think about Brandon Woodruff on that 60-day IL.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you not only peeved off Corbin Burns, because that's what that was about. I mean, he wanted to be a lifetime Brewer, and they squabbled over arbitration money. And that's what happened. Like you said, you look through the lineup and that 40 man, and it's like, never heard of him. Never heard of him. That guy's still in the league? Never heard of him. I not to just crap on these guys, but man, it's just hard to see a team that was winning the NL Central 2 out of 3 years go to this. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you're going to get with Yelich. I mean, the guy's going to be 33.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been the same.
Not quite old enough to be a Cardinal yet.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a minute.
Doesn't have his AARP card yet, huh? Is that what you're saying?
But yeah, just not a lot there to be
futures
to be excited about. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just you it's not gonna be for a few years.
Gotta wear shades because their future's bright.
Yeah.
I actually said that one time as I was walking into work at the Pizza Ranch here in town, and the 16-year-old girls go, isn't your future now, though?
I'll hit you one better. That was our senior motto in the good year of 2011, boys and girls.
Senior so 2011. Gotta wear shades.
Yeah. God.
And now I'm on a podcast with one guy. So yeah, I guess exactly. I made it.
You made
Mom,
it,
Mom, I made it.
You're big.
I made it, Mom.
You graduated high school in 2011. I've been married 10 years in 2011.
I was out of high school for 11 years.
I was going to say, man, I know I graduated in 06, but 2011, God, you're still wet behind the ears, Gersty.
Ricky, what do you got on the Brewers?
Sorry, I'm trying to get settled in that I'm back home. So I use FanGraphs for my depth charts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And FanGraphs has the Brewers at 92 and 70. I think that's a little high for them.
What?
Wait,
that's FanGraphs?
Yes, FanGraphs has them at 92 and 70.
For 2024.
Yep.
That's
absurd.
Wow.
I'll take the under on that for a million,
yep.
Jimmy.
Yep.
But they only have them at a 33.8% chance of making the playoffs, even though they have them leading the division.
That makes sense.
And I think a big thing about that is, and it's something that's going to come up later with the Cubs, the new management.
Yeah.
They're not under Craig Counsell anymore. I am excited to see what Craig Counsell does with the Cubs. And with new management, every time there's new management, as proved by the St. Louis Cardinals, it's sink or swim. So even though Fangraphs has them leading the Central at 92-70, the 33.8% chance of making the playoffs, I agree with. Because I think it's going to be more sink than swim this year for them.
How is it you win 92 games, you only got a 33% chance at making the playoffs?
And you
that
win the division.
Doesn't math, does it, does it, Sean?
That does not
math. No, that ain't that good math.
That ain't that West Virginia math, brother.
That's right.
That math is about like Gerstner's spelling.
Not so good. That's harsh.
Shots fired.
He's throwing shots at this podcast now. Holy crud. Shots are fired. All right. So
I love you, brother.
If we don't, apparently none of us are agreeing with the projections on this, especially fan graphs. Where do we see them falling at in number of wins? Let's go. We'll go Ethan first.
I mean, I'm going to say 73 wins, like with the projected Pirates, is more in line, honestly, looking at that roster. So,
okay, I can get behind that. Sean?
I was going between 70 and 75. I don't see much more than that coming out of that lineup.
All right. Ricky, where you got the Brewers ending up at? 92 wins?
I'm actually going lower than the Pirates at the 73, and I'm saying that with new management, like I said, especially with some of their older guys being injury prone, like Woodruff, Yelich, their young guys, and the new management, I think they'll be lucky to break 70.
I think that they get 71. I think they win a few games that they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And
against the NL Central.
Yeah, exactly. Against the NL Central. I think they win a few games that they're not supposed to, and they squeak out 71 wins and finish three games ahead of the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates, in my book. So now this is the fun part, right? We got first, second, and third up for grabs between the Cubs, Cardinals, and Reds, huh? Well, you know what? We'll start with the Reds. Okay. And we're not going to say they're finishing in third place. All right. We're just going to say we're going to start with the Reds. We'll go Reds. We'll go Cubs. And then we'll go Cardinals, since we're outnumbered by Cardinals fans right now in this podcast, which I don't know how I let that happen, but I
did. Yeah. We got to talk about that.
let's start with Sean, and let's start with your predictions of the Cincinnati Reds this year.
Let's start off by saying, in my book, and I don't know if everybody else feels this way, but this team, the sky's the limit. If this team comes out and plays the way that they are capable of playing, I'm going to say between 87 and 95 wins. They've changed Ellie's swing. Ellie, they revamped his swing. He's still getting underneath the ball, but he is. They also have him trying to hit the ball more on the ground to beat out hits. They did take a hit from having Marte get suspended for PEDs. But if you look at their lineup, I mean, you have Steer, you have McLean, you have Encarnacion, you've got, they just hired Candelario, which Candelario could be a devil's machine in Cincinnati. You have Friel, you have Fraley, you have Ellie, you have Tyler Stevenson's coming back healthy. Jonathan India's still there. They still have two that they're talking that they may bring up before the year's done with Arroyo. And, well, they had thought that Marte was going to come up. The offense is there. The pitching staff, Montez is the wild card on that pitching staff. You don't know which Frankie Montez you're going to get. Are you going to get the A's Montez, or are you going to get the Yankees Montez? Then you're going to have Hunter Green's added two. He's kind of like Spencer Strider. He's added two new pitches. Graham Ashcraft did very well last year. Andrew Abbott, in my personal opinion of all the young talent, Andrew Abbott could be the best pitcher on that staff, him and Lodolo. Lodolo, if he comes out healthy, can be flat out nasty. But they have to play the same way they did last year, come together. The one big question mark, too, that I have is I want to know who's going to be the veteran leader now that Votto's gone. Votto was a big, even though he may not have played a whole lot, he was a big emotional leader on that team last year. So, yeah. Like I said, I'm going to say I will, now that I've been sitting here thinking, I'm going to say between 90 and 95 wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get Ethan. Let's see. Have a little rebuttal about this right. Reds team.
Well, I tell you, looking at the roster, it's hard not to be excited as a Reds fan. You know, the Reds have had kind of a roller coaster last 12 to 13 years. Some really, really good years followed by some just absolute bottom of the NL Central. But mm-hmm. I mean, it appears like it's paying off. You've got Hunter Green. I mean, we saw him last year. Sky's the limit, huge arm, amazing talent. Time to put it all together. So, I mean, that's the first name that jumps off at me. Everybody knows about Ellie. I'm not even going to talk about him at this point. I mean, the guy's a freak of nature. So we've seen what that guy can do. I guess personally, there's three names on here, maybe four. Candelario, I think, like Sean said, that could be a huge part of this offense being really good to elite in a ballpark where the ball absolutely freaking flies. I mean, we know how many home runs are hit at Great American Ballpark. So that's nothing new. You got Jonathan India, former rookie of the year, I believe.
Yes.
Super, super, super solid second baseman. I mean, that's to me, that's probably your leader right now.
Yeah.
That you're looking for. The other two guys, which you kind of hit on, Sean, Matt McLean and Spencer Steer. Wow. You got guys with some speed. They can run. They can hit. You got some power, again, in a ballpark that loves getting the ball in the air. And it appears that these guys are going to hit for average. So there's that. I am not super familiar as far as the outfielders go. Was Will Benson a Padre? Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Benson?
Okay.
No.
Yes.
Will Benson Myers was picked up from Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Will Myers was the outfielder for San Diego.
Okay. So these guys I really don't know a lot about.
Right.
That might be, if I were going to choose a weak spot, maybe your weak spot.
Yeah.
I guess for me, that's I'm honestly leading towards them being the NL Central front runner. But again, this is why we play the game. The guys on paper have to put out. You've got a lot of young studs, a lot of upside. And if they produce, I would say it's their division. If they don't, might be kind of a disappointing year. So yep. I'm probably going to put them 90 wins is a lot.
Yeah.
Now the NL Central is poo poo dipes. So, I mean, there is that, but I'm probably going to say 85 to 93 wins somewhere in there. So I like them to win the Central at this point. So.
All right. And Ricky, your thoughts on the Reds?
So I think the biggest issue is going to be the lack of veteran leadership, like Sean said. They have a lot of young talent. They do have Tony Kemp that is a veteran leader that is starting on the bench for the beginning of the year, it looks like. So he can be a big thing in that clubhouse. Frankie Montas, I don't see him keeping the ace position. I think Hunter Green's going to come out and absolutely blow him out of the water. So I see the rotation actually being more of Hunter Green, Ashcroft, and then Abbott before Montas. I think the biggest thing that's going to hurt them, especially with more lefties and more switch hitters coming into the game, is the fact that they only have one lefty reliever. And we have seen in previous years with the Houston Astros that only having one or two lefty arms in your entire pitching staff is not the way to go.
Right. Yeah, a little bit of a problem.
I don't think they're going to really miss Noel V. Marte very much with that 80-game suspension. I don't think they're going to miss him a whole lot at the beginning of the year. I think after his suspension is up, he will be a good asset to give some relief in the lineup and some breaks, especially as mid-season, that's when a lot of your injuries will start happening. So him coming back after 80 games, that fits in right about perfect for him coming back from that.
All right.
And it's looking like just the projected lineup versus right-handed pitching, they have everybody like absolutely dialed in with Friedel being protected, being followed by Ellie, who's a switch hitter, and then Matt McClain, and then Candelario, who's a switch hitter. So I think they have some good depth in their lineup. I think they have some good position pieces that they can bring in. And Jake Fraley, Tony Kemp, Luke Malley, and then Noel V. Marte when he comes back. I think with the Reds, they'll probably, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people with that young talent. I have them between 93 and 100 and taking the NL Central.
Wow. That's all right. Okay. Well, here's my thoughts. Okay. Well, let's start with baseball prospectus thoughts first. They have them going 78 and 84.
Wow.
All right. They got Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, Graham Ashcraft, Montez, and Andrew Abbott as their main five starters. As well. Then you got for closer, you're looking at Alexis Diaz. You got setup guys of Emilio Pagan and Lucas Sims, along with Ian Gilbot, or how you pronounce that last name. He can at me in the comments for all I care if I got it wrong. Then you're looking at catcher, looking at Stevenson, Luke Mayle, PJ Higgins, Cubs legend, Yamir Candelero, another Cubs legend, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Matt McLean, Jonathan India, Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer. You also got Jacob Herbidibs, TJ Friedel, Jose Barrero, Will Benson, Nick Martini, Stuart Fairchild, and Jake Fraley. All right. So I'm thinking, you know, Fraley is probably going to be your DH, fill in the outfield every now and then. All right. You got Martini. He'll fill in as well, but Benson's going to be your everyday right fielder. You're going to have Friedel out there in center, and then you got Herbitis, or then you got Spencer Steer out in left, right? So, I mean, young outfield. Then, of course, you got with Marte no longer around, and Prospectus had them at Marte playing third. Now you're going to have to either play Candelero there, or you're going to have to move India over there. Like, you're going to have to just fill in that third base position at this point now. Infield's pretty solid. Pitching is okay. I mean, to me, the Reds just, they don't scream yet of, we're here to win the Central. Like, they don't scream that to me yet.
Right.
Do I think they can be that good in a couple of years? Yes. Do I think they can be that good next year? Yes. And I understand they made the playoffs last year, right?
Yes,
they did. I understand they made the playoffs last year, but I don't think they expand on that. Okay. Could it be their division to lose? Yes, it could be, because they're young guys, and if they come out and play hair on fire, then obviously they can make that happen. The one guy I'm really curious about, though, is Nick Martinez. He was the long relief guy out in San Diego.
Yeah.
He then turned into being the setup guy, and the kid just has nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And it eats up a lot of innings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Montez doesn't become Montez of the A's, then Nick Martinez can fill in. But,
and then don't forget you have Lodolo too.
Yeah, you got Lodolo and you got Green.
Yep.
Green's good. All right. Is he going to be a Cy Young winner this year? No, he's not. In my eyes. Okay. Again, a lot of good pieces to me. I think they're more of a 84 win team. But that could win the Central. 83, yeah. 84 wins could win the Central, because you're going to be beating each other up all year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing. So let's go. Yeah. So we got the Reds take. So a couple of you guys got the Reds winning the Central. A few of you. I got them finishing with 83 wins. I'm going Cubs, baby. And we have now reached the Cubs section of this podcast.
So right. Before we move on to the next 108 years. Can we be serious for a minute about the NL Central? And we are literally the only division that the top team can finish under 500.
Yeah. Well, the AL
Central. The AL Central is awful.
Let's be real. The AL Central and the NL Central are the dog turds of the Major League Baseball. Like, you have more bad teams in the divisions than you have good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's not because of lack of talent. Well, for the Cardinals it is, because they all have AARP cards. For the rest of the division, it's because they're all a bunch of young guys. That are
promised I wouldn't swear.
So, but hey, you know what? Let's get into the good team of the Central. Okay. The team,
we just covered the Reds.
From a Cardinals fan, I guess. There you go. And I see where your loyalty lies. So the Cubs, 81-81 is what they're projected to get. I think that's low. Like, about five games too low. Okay. I think they're an 86 win team. All right. We got Justin Steele. We got Shota. Jameson Talon. It sounds like he might be out. Talon might be out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He's, I can't remember what it was, but it came across thing that he's injured or something. I don't know. He's on my fantasy team. I'm just like, ugh. But he's also a bench player, anyways. Yeah. They got Jordan Wicks, Javier Assad. They got Hayden Wyszynski. Killian, he sounds like he's hurt as well. I mean, that's okay. But I got Alzolay, Mark Leiter Jr., and that bullpen. Here's the deal. The Cubs, we're going to just make this real quick. The Cubs bullpen is the best in the NL Central, hands down. From top to bottom, they are the best bullpen in the Central. Now, that means, are we going to throw out Kyle Hendricks and get wins? Oh, we're going to get a few wins with Hendricks, but he's also going to have like a 4.5 ERA. He's like the Patrick Corbin of the Nationals, for crying out loud. All right. If they could just like not have here, he had two good years, 15 and 16. All right. And then all of a sudden he became the ace of the staff. And then it was just like, yeah, I actually can't throw like Greg Maddux after all. You know, I had 2 years of where I could throw like Greg Maddux, and now he just can't hit anything. And I only throw a 92 mile an hour fastball. So it's just a beach ball for all these guys. Like, and now he's our number two. Justin Steele is going to win the NL Cy Young this year.
Oh,
he's going to get 20 wins. He's going to have 200 plus Ks.
Definitely a hot take.
He's going to have a 2.79 ERA, and he's just going to be lights out. He's going to win that NL.
I know it's another division, but you're telling me Justin Steele is going to win the Cy Young over Spencer Strider?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Spencer's got a new pitch. I'm not sold on that yet. Ask Adam Wainwright how a hanging curveball works out for you when you don't.
Exactly.
Don't locate it.
So then like,
Adam Wainwright's the king of Uncle Charlie, but in his later years he did hang a few and they punished him for it.
So, I mean, our depth chart is pretty decent. You know, we got Yan Gomes and Miguel Amaya behind the plate, Patrick Wisdom, who just hits bombs, and now that he's actually learning how to hit more than just bombs, that's a plus. You got Matt Mervis coming up, Nico Horner, Master Boney, Nick Madrigal, who's a good utility guy, you know. And the thing is we're going to have Chris Morel at our starting third base spot. So our infield is going to be Morel, Dansby Swanson, Hoyner, and Cody Bellinger.
Wait. They got Cody playing.
Oh, they're not going to have him play center. We've got PCA out there, baby. If Craig Counsell was a smart man, you would not put PCA on the bench. Let that dude come out and just yoke it.
Yeah.
Fangraphs has Cody at first base.
Yeah, and Prospectus doesn't even have him on the roster.
They also have Mike Tauchman out in center against right-handed hitters, benching PCA.
They got Suzuki, another year with the big leagues, definitely not turning into Kosuke Fukudome and crapping it out after 3 years. And then you guys forget that we have the best switch hitter in the NL Central. His name is Ian Happ.
I might buy that.
like we have depth.
Happ Daddy.
We have depth beyond depth. All right. We still have a top five farm system. So if we need to go grab a player at the deadline to win this division, we're gonna do it now. Okay, so now you got all
top five farm system. He means top five farm system in the NL Central,
in all of baseball. So, anyways, let's but now, okay, now that that's the y'all just heard the good one guy on the Cubs. Now, comes out. That was Dr. Jekyll. This is Mr. Hyde. Okay, the Cubs are gonna be dog shit. As much as I'm trying to hype them up,
that we all can agree on.
Like, I'm not looking forward because they surprised everybody last year. All right, it's one thing of me looking at 2014 on my as with all stats, I'm sitting on my grandpa's couch and saying, "Hey, you know what? The Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2 years," and then they actually went out and did it. Okay, because that 2014 team, even though they only won 76 games, they actually should have won about 88, according to the Pythagorean theory that they have for baseball. So, so then it was just one of those things where you look at that 2014 team and you look at 2015, how they're going to build on it. And 2016 was when they were going to get it done, which they did. But after 2016, the Ricketts have done nothing. Nope. Absolutely nothing. They got Cody Bellinger on a team-friendly deal, for crying out loud. And that was only because the guy's, 29 years old? And if he plays 2 years, he's going to get 31. So he might as well get a $60 million from the Cubs and then opt out and then go get a long-term deal from somewhere else. Like, he's going to prove that can be the MVP for him, all right?
Yep.
Dansby Swanson is Dansby Swanson. However, we may have the best bullpen. Our pitching staff is very, very questionable after Justin Steele. I said, we got, I know Shoto was, or however you pronounce his name, I still haven't figured that out in the entire time that he signed with the Cubs. But is he going to be a guy that you can rely on, or is he going to be able to make that transition like Ohtani was, or not? Like, he's a lefty. He's not out there throwing 99. He's out there throwing 93 and hitting his spots. Like, that's the other problem. You got Hendricks tops out at 91 miles an hour. Shoto tops off at 93. Jameson tops out at 94. Like, we have no hard throwers in that in our starting lineup. So that's the question marks I have. Still think they can win 86 games on a good side. But I also see this team winning 57 games and selling the entire team. All right. Because Tom Ricketts absolutely refuses to spend his $17 billion that he's worth and put any money in this team, because God forbid we actually buy some players. God forbid we try to be the Yankees and when we have more money than them. Here's also my other deal, and I've talked about this on the show before, is that they are making more money off the marquee network than any other team in baseball. You know why? Because they force every resident of Chicago that has cable TV to get added the $5 onto their package.
Mm-hmm.
So every person in Chicago that's got cable TV is paying an extra $5 just for the marquee network, whether they're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan or not. Like that's what they're getting. Okay, and then also Sinclair didn't even, when they made the deal, they didn't even, like, Sinclair didn't even announce how much the Cubs were getting out of the deal. But if you figure, if the Cubs are getting 50% of that, that's $250, okay? And then over time, that's going to grow, and then they're going to get all the ad revenue at some point as well, to where Sinclair is going to get, it's going to be an 80-20 split, and the Cubs are going to get 80%, and Tom Ricketts still isn't going to spend money. So, the Cubs can be really, really good, or they can be really, really bad. And this year, they're not winning. They're not making the playoffs. They're not going to add on from last year. They're not going to be out there and be this big team and start swatting things around. Like, no, it's not going to happen. Okay. Let's be realistic, Cubs fans. Any Cubs fan that's listening to this podcast and just right now throwing everything at their speaker right now at me, let's be real about something. Okay. Once you get past Swansby, Hap, and Bellinger, you got the unknowns, right? I'm not wrong. Or I guess you got Nico. Okay. You get past four guys, you got nothing. After those four guys, you really got nothing. PCA, still don't know what he's going to turn into be. Okay. The guy could be a legit superstar. And I understand the Mets want him back and that we could probably sell him for Pete Alonso, but whatever. This pitching staff, you got Justin Steele, and that's it, boys. Like, I don't know what more you want me to tell you at this point. The Cubs are not winning the Central. All right.
Yeah.
Let's start with Ethan on this one. What are your thoughts on the Cubs? Wait, you got the first rebuttal with the Reds. Hold on. Sean, let's go with you. First rebuttal of
my whole question is kind of like you. The pitching staff. Is that pitching and do they have the hitters to go up against some of these bigger offenses in the NL?
Well, they did put up 17 runs on the Washington Nationals last year.
I mean, like the Atlanta. The Dodgers, the Diamondbacks. The Reds.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the bats that can keep up inning after inning after inning? I don't know. I'm kind of like you. After you get past the first four, I don't see that they have that much. It feels to me like if you can get past the first four and shut them down in a game, you're pretty much going to dominate that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really sad because they have been. I was very, very nervous when they signed Dansby. And when I saw Cody had started playing better. But it was like this year, you saw some of the teams that wanted to take the next step up making all these moves, and the Cubs just kind of sat there.
Right.
And didn't really want to make any moves.
Right.
So, I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I'm going to say between 75 and 83.
Okay. All right.
Somewhere around through there.
All right. Ricky, what about you?
All right. So Fangraphs has them at 83 and 79. I think that's a touch high. And actually, your guys' bullpen, if we could trade St. Louis, our entire bullpen for your entire bullpen, I would make that deal in a heartbeat. But at the same time, the Cubs are like a firecracker. You light it, it's going to go pop, pity. And then by June, all your Cubs fans are just going to be like, is it 25 yet?
Cubs completely useless by September.
You said it, brother.
I think 83 is high for them. Now, I would love to see Craig Counsell come in and get your veterans like Bellinger and Dansby behind him. And if that happens, they have potential to be right there with the Reds. But again, with the new management, it can either be feast or famine. And if he cannot get the veterans behind him, it's going to be a famine. I think they'll be lucky if they get between 73 and 78.
All right. Ethan?
Yeah, I guess one person that nobody has brought up that could be maybe the difference to the Cubs being 500 or 15 games over might just be Seiya Suzuki. Big name, came over, it's been hurt. Every time he gets his feet wet, gets rolling, seems like he's been hurt. Could be big. You guys have got some freaking dogs, dude. Like, you know, Belly's going to hit 25 plus. He's going to go through a month, probably right before the All-Star break, where he's absolute poopy dipes, like every power guy is. I foresee him having a huge year. Got the contract. It's fairly friendly. Doesn't have to worry about it. The starting pitching is not so hot, which I feel like, honestly, I don't know much about a lot of the Cubs pitchers. I mean, Steele's a dog. That dude absolutely shoves. I love everything about him other than he's a Cubby. He looks so much better in Cardinal Red, and I'll leave it at that. But looking at some of the other guys, wasn't Almonte a starter, or is he a bullpen guy?
He was a starter for a second, and then they moved him to the bullpen.
So did I miss something there? Because wasn't he kind of a horse too?
Yes. However, for about four innings.
Gotcha.
I think the thing with Yency Almonte is a lack of a pitch repertoire. He has limited pitches.
Good fastball, good slider. That's about
it. Okay. Now, was Azolay?
Yep.
Same thing?
Yep. Put him in his closer. He's been phenomenal since.
Okay. That's what I thought. So I mean,
all he has to do is rely on a fastball and a cutter.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He doesn't have to try to throw that
crappy changeup he tries to throw.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got so much movement. He needs to just throw that thing in the dumpster. I don't know, man. I think you guys have a really good offense, to be super honest with you. I think the pitching is going to be probably the issue. But then again, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. So, honestly, I see the Cubs being 10 games over 500. What that record looks like, I don't know. But there's a pesky little brother of the NL. And you kick them, and you think they're down, and you think they're going to suck, and they just freaking hang around, and they cause everybody else problems. And I think that's what they're going to be. I can see them messing around and winning the NL. I really can. I think the top three teams are that close. I really do.
You speak like you know from experience about the pesky little brother getting kicked around and everything. Was that you?
No, sir. I am the eldest.
So he knows about pesky little brothers.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Hey, I like your optimism. I really do. But I'm really I'm really going all Randy Quaid on the Cubs this year. All right. They suck again. They get your hopes up and then they crush your dreams. That's all I'm saying. As I can go into this season, I look at last season what they did with David Ross as the manager and how well Seiya Suzuki did play yet last year and how well Bellinger hit and Happ and all these guys played, right? And then you bring Craig Counsell, a proven manager of the year, a proven NL manager, the winner. Like, the guy wins, right? And he knows how to get to people, right? So, but you still have the owner by the name of Tom Ricketts, who doesn't open his pocketbook. So if the Cubs need that one piece, that just needs that one starter to get him over the hump, he's not going to spend the money to go do it. Yeah. That's the problem. Like, he's happy with finishing second or third in the Central and maybe squeaking into a wild card place. Like, so this team can be really good. As I said, they can be really, really good, but they can also be really, really crappy at the same time, because of that factor of you have five guys that if those five guys aren't hitting, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You can jump on the other. So if you come out in the first inning and the third inning, so if you get through the lineup top of the order twice within the first three innings, the Cubs are going to win the ball game because all you need to do is have your starter go five, and then you can bring in every arm from the bullpen that's just going to come in and throw fastballs and sliders and strike you out, because their bullpen's that good. So, I mean, and we didn't even touch on that. They got Hector Neris.
I just saw that. I was going to say that.
Like, we didn't even touch on that part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. The Cubs bullpen is so good.
Yeah.
It's just the rest of the stuff that's orbiting around it makes me, which again is a first as well for a Cubs fan to have a really good bullpen, because even the 16 bullpen wasn't that great. We relied on Chapman, for crying out loud, and we were Mike Montgomery. And we did have Carl Edwards Jr., who threw lights out, but we didn't have a stack of guys like this.
No.
And so, yeah. So, to me,
I think you're selling yourself a little short, though, on Drew Smyly, don't you think?
Oh.
Sorry.
Just bring back Wade Miley at this point, if that's what we're going to go with. We're having Drew Smyly. You might as well just bring back Wade Miley as well. Oh, my gosh.
So here's something for you on your Cubs, Chad. I'm looking at FanGraphs.
Yeah.
And the Cubs have relegated TCA to AAA at the start of the year.
Of course, because why wouldn't we make him center fielder? Jeez. So apparently I need to go to Des Moines to watch PCA, because I'm never going to see him on a actual Cubs uniform. So
traded at the deadline, brother.
For Pete Alonso. Him and Matt Mervis. We're going to trade Matt Mervis and PCA for Pete Alonso for the last 5 months of the season, 3 months of the season.
And Drew Smyly for cash considerations.
Yeah, no kidding. Take that, New York. All right. Now let's in all honesty, I see the Cubs winning 86 games. I really do. Is that gonna get them enough to win the Central? Probably not, but it'll be a fun ride. I'm still gonna tune in 162 games of the year to watch the Cubs play win or lose, because that's what I do. I bleed blue and red so I always give my principal crap.
He is a closet Cardinals fan.
Not hardly. I never lost anything. I always said I'd never had to go to St. Louis because I never lost anything there. And then I had to actually start going there for work.
So you're not upset about Contreras being a Cardinal now?
I wasn't in the first place. I said, all right, buddy, that's what you're going to do to us. Thanks for the World Series ring, but good luck with your AARP starting lineup, starting rotation.
Later, stinky.
There's actually only one actual Cardinal I have ever liked in my entire life, and his name is Bob Gibson. And I never even saw the guy play. However, as a kid, I always wanted to be Warren Buffett's best friend just to meet Bob Gibson.
That's one more than me.
So that's one more than you. So, I mean, and I was a huge Jim Edmonds fan until he went to the Cardinals.
Keep going. No, I'm enjoying this.
All I gotta say is David effing Freeze is my most hated Cardinal of all time.
So you don't like the. So you agree with the trade that sent Lou Brock from the Cubs to the Cardinals in 64?
I don't agree with it. However, here's the deal. If you guys know anything about the Cubs, I did an episode on this as well, the Cubs college of coaching that they had in the mid 60s. And the probably the best thing for them to do was trade Lou Brock, because it probably made him a better player than what it was. Because when you're rotating your managers every 4 weeks, every 4 to 6 weeks, because someone, because no one wanted to be the manager of the Cubs. So instead of just firing the manager, they're just like, hey, how about we start this thing where every manager from single A to major leagues just rotates every 4 weeks throughout the season to then be the new manager. So if you're an A, if you're the A manager, you go to double A. Double A goes to triple A. Triple A goes to the B of the head guy. The head guy goes down to single A. And that's what they did throughout the entire year. Let's also not forget that we had Buck O'Neill as a unofficial manager at times too, because you know it was the 60s, so you couldn't have a black guy as your manager. Okay. And probably Buck O'Neill probably would have been the best guy to have, but no. So
franchise, honestly.
You know, so that went on until like 66, and they finally got rid of it because Leo DeRocher said, enough of this BS. I mean, because and it was a backup, and the funny part, it was as a backup catcher that sold the Wrigleys on doing it, because he wanted to be the manager and play at the same time.
Wow.
And he's the one that sold him on it. So that was what? That was fun.
Hell of a salesman.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now let's get on the Cardinals, the armpit of the NL Central.
Oh god.
it's better than being a little farther south.
I guess it's very true. So, which one wants to go first? Who wants
Ethan.
Who wants to start it?
I'll start it. I guess the 2024 St. Louis Cardinals, also known as the 2024 AARP sponsored St. Louis Cardinals. Let's just start with the rotation, shall we? One of the most winningest franchises ever. And this is what I have to look at. We're going to start on the not so positives of the 2024 Cardinals. Unlike Chad, who started positive with the Cubs, we're going to do the opposite. Lance Lynn, maybe the funniest chubby pitcher in baseball. Not very good at pitching at this point. Did get thrown out of a spring training game by Angel Hernandez. W's.
It is Angel, though, so.
Yes. We did go out and sign Sonny Gray. I guess we'll find out on that. It's hard to get excited about a guy that really hasn't been all that good his career. I mean, am I the only one that isn't that impressed with Sonny Gray?
I mean, he helped out the Twins.
My point exactly.
So Sonny Gray is currently on the IR for a strained hamstring.
Yes.
He threw today. He's fine.
Spring training.
Yeah. He's fine.
Running. He's not even running out there and only pitched in 3 innings.
Anyways.
He's also sponsored by Medicare too.
Oh, okay.
Was A and B.
So yeah, I guess Sonny Gray is our ace. We'll go with that. We've got Miles Michaelis, pretty good pitcher, honestly. Guys bounced around a little bit. Typically a good innings eater, doesn't walk a lot of guys. There's some cause for excitement. Or if he's even just 2018 Miles, I'd be pretty happy. The rest of the rotation is ass. Steven Matz is maybe going to be a starter. I honestly don't know. We'll see. Where there is cause for some, I guess, positivity is it's Nolan Arenado revenge season. I'm putting y'all on notice. My boy played like crap last year. He knows it. He's mad. He's sick of losing. He didn't leave the Rockies to not make the playoffs. Nolan's going to go off. We got a guy called Paul Goldschmidt. Not sure if you've heard of him. Won an MVP here about a year ago. maybe 2 years ago, depending on how you want to look at it. Nolan Gorman, probably going to hit 30 bombs, may strike out 300 times, but he's going to hit 30 home runs. Pretty stoked about that. Mason Wynn, most likely the opening day shortstop. Stud defender. Not super confident in the bat yet. So not really sure how that's going to play out. Brendan Donovan, probably going to be our starting second baseman with Gorman DHing, I'm assuming. I like our infield, honestly. I think that's probably our strength. The outfield is also a shit show. Allegedly, Tommy Edman is going to play center field. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but that appears to be what's going to happen. Newt is hurt. Probably our starting left fielder, maybe center fielder, depending on Tommy's injury status. I'm excited for
Tommy
him.
Tommy is also
Yeah, he's shut down right now because of a wrist. I we'll see on that. I'm obviously super excited to watch Jordan Walker in year two, playing right field. I think he's going to have a big year. I think we're going to have a decent offense. I actually like some of our bullpen guys. I think we might actually have a little bit of an underrated bullpen, but the starting pitching staff is an absolute freaking joke. And I don't see this going well. So I think that's about all I got.
All right, Ricky, your turn.
Can I go last on this one?
If you want rebuttal started already, sure.
There's nothing to rebuttal. I said we suck.
I mean, let's be real. You know what? We can bring you. We can have you go last. That's fine. I'll give you
take your shots.
I'll give you my breakdown of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry,
I'm ready.
We'll go. Ethan, me, you. Then we'll go Sean, you. All right, Ricky. All right. So here's the deal. I like Zach Thompson. I like Ryan Helsley. I like Giovanni Gallegos. Andre Pallante. I feel like he can do stuff. Short term relief guy. The guy definitely can step into the starting role if he has to. So I like those guys. Sonny Gray, I'm not a huge fan of, but I think he's serviceable. Currently on the IR with a hamstring injury in spring training. never heard such of a thing in my life.
Oh my god.
For a pitcher, anyways. Let's reiterate. A pitcher that doesn't even that we have the all-time DH now, just let you know, in both leagues. There's a DH in both leagues, so I don't know how you're injuring your hammy. Are you, like, running out of the shower or something? Like, what's going on here, Sonny? Kyle Gibson, all right? I like Kyle Gibson. But I really like Lance Lynn. I mean, he looks like me out there throwing the pit, just with a little bit more of a movement on his fastball than I got, okay? He looks like me playing slow-pitch softball. Like, I'm that good, okay? So, slow-pitch softball legend. All right.
So, now, do you get teed off on a lot?
No. I throw a knuckle. I'm like the Charlie Huff. I throw knuckleballs, all right? I just throw junk and they can't hit it. Offensive side. Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Paul Schmidt, Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. That's all the offense you have. Tommy Edman, maybe. What do you have, like one good year? Two good years?
I mean, he's been pretty decent. I mean, he's
consistent. He's a contact hitter. He don't hit for huge power numbers.
No.
He's good at getting on and he's fast enough to get the steals to get into scoring position.
The guy I really liked, I think the biggest signing you guys did this year, though, offseason, though,
Matt Carpenter
was Matty Carp.
Yeah. The greatest DH of all time. Fear the stash.
Fear the carp. Can I make that as a t-shirt? Fear the carp.
Yes.
I'm gonna make that as a t-shirt. You think he'll sue me for it?
No.
Or you know what? Here's the deal. You know what? Here's the deal. I should just email the St. Louis Cardinals and say, here, I got a marketing idea for you. Make a t-shirt that says Fear the Carp. Okay. And then you guys can make $20 off every shirt. Give me $5 off every sell, and we can call it good.
I'm in.
Yeah, see? There we go. So, but other than that, you guys got again, it comes down to the NL Central being just young bucks. Every team has it, right? So I don't think the Cardinals are going to do as bad as everybody thinks. However, they're going to win the division? Probably not.
So, I will say real quick, one guy to maybe watch a little bit, just kind of what I've watched from spring training, is Riley O'Brien.
Yeah.
Added like 4 mph to his fastball. So he's just under 100 mph with like a 20-inch run slider.
Which he's currently middle relief. So he could really end up taking over that setup job, which that'd be nice. That'd be nice, but you also have to get that far into your pitching staff.
See. Yes. Yeah.
So if you can't get to him, there's no point of having him. So come on over to Chicago. We can make a trade.
We can do that.
All right, Sean. What's your thoughts on the St. Louis Cardinals?
Okay, when I started doing the looking over all of the lineups and depth charts and stuff like that, the one question that came to my mind was, what in the hell are the Cardinals doing?
That's the same question Cardinals fans ask.
Like, Sonny Gray was dog water in Cincinnati. Dog water.
Did he go to Oakland?
He went from Oakland.
Yeah, but he was out in Oakland, and he pitched for pretty well out in Oakland.
Let me look here.
I don't think it was too well.
Oh no,
it's not hard to look like you're pitching well when you're pitching in Oakland.
I have that backwards.
Yeah.
It was in Oakland first.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then New York, and then Cincy, and then Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, and he wasn't that bad with Cincinnati in 2019 at a 2.87 ERA.
No, he was not bad. That's the one year that he was okay, thank God, because that's the only thing we had that year. So.
31. Hey, he had 31 starts and 11-8.
All right.
Then he went to Minnesota.
The pitching staff, I'm kind of like Ethan. The pitching staff is god-awful. We were talking about it before the podcast even started. There's going to be some of these guys. You're going to be lucky to get 4 innings to start out of them. Because, number one, a couple of them, I think they're going to run into problems with age. The second thing is, if that starts happening all the time, that bullpen that they have is basically going to get exhausted. That bullpen is going to get wore out.
Right.
But so in the last 3 years, it's literally been the last 3 years for us.
But they're long, but the Cardinals' long relief guys are pretty much set up to cover the 4 through 7 innings for them.
Yeah, but
they're eventually going to get, you're eventually going to get tired if it's every single day you're having to do it.
It's a new method in baseball, the hockey lab.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's their new method, is they're going to get 4 innings out of their starters, wear their long relievers out. And I don't know. Their offense could be okay.
Just hope to get to the back end of their bullpen.
Yeah. But I told Ethan earlier, one or two things is going to happen. Either they will be somehow, just because it's the Cardinals, they will be in contention somehow when all of this comes around, and it'll end up being a three-team race. Or the Cardinals are going to be absolutely god-awful, and there's going to be a fire sale before the trade deadline.
I don't see the Cardinals doing a fire sale.
I see they'll get rid of Helsley. They will get too much. People will call teams that need a closer. They will get too many calls and too many offers to be able to turn down for people wanting Helsley. There was a couple other names, I think, that Ethan threw out there that he could see happening at the trade deadline.
Dylan Carlson's been – I mean, I can definitely see him getting moved. That's one. I could also see either Tommy Edman or Brendan Donovan, to be super honest with you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there's going to be – and then there is talk throughout the league that if this manager doesn't do well by the All-Star break, he could be gone, and they could be bringing in Yachty to be the new manager.
Yeah.
The Yachty father.
But Yachty wears Cub stuff, so probably
hey.
Not.
Yeah. Well.
He's a Cubs fan at heart.
Yeah, sure he is.
All right, Ricky, what do you got on the Cardinals?
Our rotation's trash. That is the worst kept secret in baseball. Miles Michaelis is going to come out and get injured in his first three starts. They're going to call up Matthew Liebertwort to relieve him. And Michaelis doesn't make a return, and I would be fine with that. Lance Lynn's going to go out and probably by mid to late May have a 7.5 ERA because he's not fast have what he used to back when he first started with the Cardinals, and they're going to demote him to AAA. And all of this is going to happen before the All-Star break. The Cardinals fans are going to be in uproar because our rotation sucks. We're going to be relying too heavily on O'Brien, Pallante, and hopefully a good JoJo Romero. And Ollie Marmol's gone. Yachty's the new manager. And he's going to move some pieces around, and they're going to click. We have some excellent bats as long as they're healthy. Lars Nootbaar, absolutely. Not only does he have the absolute best name in all of baseball, like, there's no contest. Your name is Lars frickin' Nootbaar. But he absolutely crushes it when he gets it. Now, he might have 25 to 30 bombs and strike out 15 times for every two bombs. But when he gets it, he gets it. Tommy Edman's great contact hitter, great for getting on, getting in scoring position. When he comes back, he'll be a good leadoff option. The signing of Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford, two good lefty bats we've needed to anchor our young lefties. I'm excited to see Mason Winn playing shortstop. I like the idea of Tommy Edman being out in center field. I'm not a big fan of Carlson being out there. He doesn't cover the ground, and he's not as consistent of a contact hitter. But I think our outfield of after Tommy's back, we have Burleson out left, Tommy in center and Jordan Walker in right. That's a good, solid outfield. I think Jordan Walker's going to come out and be the stud that everybody expected him to be right out of the gate last year. Mason Wynn's going to do amazing. Nolan Gorman is such a young and powerful kid. He commands respect at second base. I don't think they're going to take second base from him over Brendan Donovan. Nolan Arenado is probably the best offensive third baseman in the league.
Ooh, I like that fire.
His defense is waning a little bit. I think Brian Hayes has him stats-wise as the best defensive third baseman. But I still think he's the best offensive third baseman in the league. But I think our biggest thing is our rotation's going to come out, suck it up for the first month and a half, 2 months. The fans are going to get irate, and they're going to fire Ollie Marmol, bring Yadi in. And Yadi was such a staple in that clubhouse, as it showed last year. Without him, they were just in shambles. And I think that will be what makes the pieces click between our young talent and our veterans. I think they win 79-84 with at least a wild card clinch. Do they take the division? No. I think that's the Reds all the way, but I think they at least get a wild card.
All right. So you got the Cardinals getting a wild card spot. All right. That's fair. All right. Well, let's see. So I didn't really give my 1-2-3 yet of this division. So my thoughts are for this 1-2-3 is if...
Careful now.
This pains me because as much as I want to say it's Cubs 1, I just know it's not. It's so hard. I also know it's not the Cardinals one either. So I think it's going to be the Reds, even though they got young talent. But between the three teams, I honestly think that it's going to come down to about three games. It's going to come down to the last week of baseball, and it's going to come down to the last to three games between three of them. I think it's going to be a tighter race than any. This is going to be the tightest race out of all of baseball as the winner of the NL Central. Now, they're not going to win a lot of games, but it's going to be a tight race. It's going to see who can not suck the most. This is what it's
agreed.
Oh. So there we have it. Let's put a little bow on this thing. It's consensus that the Reds are going to win the division, right?
Reds number one.
Reds one. 2 and 3 up in the air, Cardinals, Cubs. All right. 4 or 5 up in the air between who's going to finish in the cellar, Brewers or Pirates?
I'm going to say the Brewers. Gonna go to the Brewers.
What's that?
Basement to the Brewers.
Okay. So basement Brewers. All right. Pirates. And then
I think the closer race will be for third place. And that would be Cubs Pirates, unless Craig Council gets them all to absolutely click.
Here's my thing. I don't think the NL Central gets two teams in the postseason.
No way.
No way. Unless for some miracle they win 90 games, but I don't see them getting two teams into the postseason. So, all right. Well, that was
I also think that by trade deadline, Justin steals him a Cardinals uniform.
Oh my God. Oh. He is not going to be in a Cardinals uniform. There's no way they're making that trade. All right. First, that's. I'm still saying Justin steals
Dylan Carlson and cash considerations.
You guys have Drew Justin Smiley. Steele. You guys have Drew Smiley in cash considerations, okay?
I'll take that.
All right. Well, all right. I appreciate you guys coming on. It's been fun. I wish all your teams the best of luck, all right, throughout the season. Maybe you guys should probably, if you're a Cardinals fan, you should probably invest in some AARP stock, since your players are going to end up going to be using those cards a lot. All right. So with one guy with a mic here, and with Ricky, Ethan, and Sean, the NL Central is going to be a dogfight, and all the teams just suck. So I appreciate
is a wiener dog.
I appreciate everybody tuning in. I hope you guys had much fun listening to this as we had making it, and I will see you all next time. As a reminder, take care of yourselves and each other.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.